Well, this morning I'm starting a new series called I Love the Church. Somebody say, I love the church. I wrote that down. I was taking notes. You said it. No, I'm kidding. But every Sunday in the month of February, we're going to look at a different aspect of the church. And let me say this. Church is a good thing. You believe that?
Yes.
Come on, tell somebody. Church is a good thing. I love the church. Church is God's idea. It's something that He established for us so that we wouldn't have to go through this Christian life on our own. Church is God's idea, and church is a good thing. In fact, if it wasn't for the church, I don't know where I would be. It's been the church. It's been my brothers and sisters in Christ who have helped me through the most difficult seasons of my life. And I love the church with all my heart. I truly believe that it's God's idea. I truly believe that it's a good thing. And if I didn't believe that, I would not have devoted my life to serving the church. In this series, we're going to look at some of the many wonderful things about church. But we're also going to talk a little bit about the ugly side. We're going to talk about the good and the ugly. We're going to talk about the uncomfortable side of church, because the truth is, church would be perfect if it wasn't for all the people.
Amen.
Come on, just look at your neighbor and tell him, I see what he means. This church was perfect till you walked in the door this morning. I hate to tell you that. Church would be perfect if it wasn't for the people, but the truth is, without the people, there would be no church. Because people are the church. You see, the church is not a building. The church is not a corporation. The church is not an organization. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5 that we are being built up a house of living stones. Tell somebody, we are the church. I want you to make it personal. Tell them, I am the church. The Bible tells us God's plan for the church. And His plans are good plans. We're going to talk about His plans. But unfortunately, we as human beings often fall short of God's plan for us as the body of Christ. And it's the desire of my heart that we at Generation Church would be the kind of church that God wants us to be. Amen? Because it's not my church or your church, it's His church. And it's my heart's desire that we would be the kind of church that God wants us to be. Not the kind of church that we want, the kind of church He wants. And that's why I'm doing this series on the church. And can I tell you a secret? Can I let you in on something? Okay, when I gave my introduction, I didn't give you the full title of today's message. Okay, I only gave you half of my sermon title. Here's the rest of it. I love the church, but I hate the hypocrites. That's the rest of the message. And the issue I want to deal with this morning is hypocrisy, because it happens far more often than it should. Too many people get hurt in church, and the fact is, church ought to be a place of healing, not a place of hurt.
Amen.
It's a problem that's plagued the early church in the book of Acts, and it's a problem that's still with us today, and I can sum it up in one word, hypocrites. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, and it means an actor, okay? That's what a hypocrite is. In other words, a hypocrite is a pretender. They might talk like Jesus, but they don't act like Jesus. And that is the basic definition of a hypocrite. And I don't want you to be naive. I want to help you, okay? There are hypocrites in every church. I heard a pastor say that one out of three church members is a hypocrite. So look to your left, look to your right if it's not one of them. Y'all know I'm just playing with you this morning. There's no hypocrites in this church, okay? But all the there's one. There are hypocrites in every other church. This is just a cautionary sermon, okay? This is just in case, all right? But pay attention anyway. Many people look at this godless generation in our nation today, and people try to understand the reason why young people aren't in church. Some people say that it's because we've taken prayer out of schools. Listen, as long as there are tests and exams, there will be prayer in schools. I don't think the problem is the absence of prayer in school. I think the problem is the absence of the love of Jesus in our churches. Uh-oh. It got rough this morning. Don't get nervous in the service. The problem is not the absence of prayer in schools. It's the absence of the love of God in the church, because people are drawn to men and women whose hearts are overflowing with the love of Jesus Christ. People are drawn to men and women of compassion and mercy. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. To me, that is the basic definition of a Christian. Because if you're mean and hateful to people, you are not saved. Don't you try to tell me that you're a child of the Most High God if you can't even show love and compassion to your fellow man. That's in the Bible. Look it up sometime. We wonder why this generation is walking away from church. Young people are, they're not, it's not that they're not drawn to the church. It's when they come to church, they find people who are full of hatred and bitterness and division and envy and fighting and selfishness and pride and, oh boy. People are drawn to the love of God, and that means that when you live your life full of the love of Jesus, when you've got the love of God in your heart and you love people like He loves you, people cannot resist being around you. Because they'll be drawn to the Jesus in you. There is a powerful magnetism about Jesus Christ that when you truly let the light of Jesus shine through you, people will be drawn to you and they won't even know why. Two things that I've found since I've become a Christian. Number one, people will hate you and they won't know why. Anybody? Or is it just me? People will hate you and they don't know why. And some people, they will be drawn to you and they can't figure out why. I don't know what it is about you, but there's just something about you. You've just got joy that nobody else has. You just got peace that nobody else has. When other people judge me and point their finger at me, you've loved me. You've shown me grace and mercy. I don't know what it is about you. Tell you what it is. When Jesus is on the inside, His light is going to shine on the outside. People are drawn to the love of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. People are drawn to those who show the love of God, but nothing will push people away faster than somebody who looks holy on the outside, but they're full of pride and envy on the inside. I've heard people ask the question, why should I believe in Jesus when so many Christians are hypocrites? Can I tell you something this morning? They have a valid point. They have a valid point. How many of you would be honest and say, I've had to deal with hypocrites in church? Sir, don't point at people. Don't point at people, please. That's just a general. I'm not asking for names. Come on, y'all. One more time. How many of you have dealt with hypocrites? Okay, I know that was the church you used to go to. I'm just going to say that. But we've all had to deal with hypocrites. Some of you deal with hypocrites at work. Oh, boy. I'll never forget. I was a young, starving college graduate. I had a degree in political science and a degree in romance languages, and I could not get a job. I was making minimum wage. They might as well send my whole check to the financial aid office because I didn't make nothing after that. But I was working at a music store, and my manager of this music store always had a Bible open on his desk. Always wearing Christian t-shirts to work. And I was thinking, man, this is going to be a good place to work. I'm looking forward to this. I've been in Chapel Hill for 3 years, and finally, I'm going to be in a good, godly environment. This is going to be nice. I meant to say Chapel Hill. What did I say? You know what I said. All the Duke fans are amening me. I was like, man, this is going to be nice. This guy, he must love God. He's got the Bible on his desk. He's got Jesus on his shirt. I don't even do that. He must be a real Christian. Let me tell you something. He had the dirtiest mouth. He said some of the most perverted things I have ever heard anybody say. He was one of the meanest, rudest. I heard this man with a Bible on his, sitting at his desk with the Bible open, cuss out a customer. That's customer service for you. And I was thinking, I am glad that I know Jesus, because if I didn't know Jesus, I'd be running the other way right now. We've all dealt with hypocrites at some point or another. If you haven't, just wait, you will. We've all dealt with people who talked the talk but did not walk the walk. And when you come face to face with a hypocrite, I want you to remember something. Jesus had to deal with them too. If you talk to somebody, this is going to help you. If you talk to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, you talk to somebody and you invite them to church, you talk to them about Jesus, and they say, why should I believe in Jesus? I hate all those hypocrites. You can tell them, you know what? Jesus hated it too. Jesus had to deal with hypocrites. In fact, he was harder on the hypocrites than he was on the sinners. Jesus could love the sinners, but he couldn't work with the hypocrites. We're going to talk about that. Matthew chapter 23. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you bunch of posers. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish. In other words, you care about the outward appearance. You want to look spiritual and you want to look holy and you want to say praise the Lord, hallelujah all the time. But on the inside, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. In other words, I'm going to use God to get what I want instead of letting God use me to get what he wants. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. By the way, that's God's natural process. It doesn't start on the outside. It starts on the inside. God doesn't first change the way you dress. He changes the way you think. God's process is always an inside out process. Listen, people talk a lot in the body of Christ. People argue over dress codes and what's holy and what's not holy. But the Bible says that God doesn't even look on the outward appearance. He does not even care. As long as what you wear doesn't make somebody stumble. Okay? God doesn't even look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And that's God's process. He's more concerned with your heart than what you're wearing on the outside. And he said in verse 28, Jesus said, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Look at verse 33. Now this is our Lord and Savior. This is Jesus Christ talking. He said, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Oh, my Jesus. That's coming from the main man himself. I would say that Jesus had a problem with hypocrites, wouldn't you? Look how strong of a warning he gives them. Jesus hates hypocrisy. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, I'm not going to go to church because of all the hypocrites, you can tell them, well, you know what? Jesus can't stand the hypocrites either. Why don't you come and just get to know Jesus? Because ultimately, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. I wish I could tell you that you'll never have to deal with a hypocrite, but I cannot make you that promise. I wish that I could just purge the church and get rid of all the hypocrites, but I can't do that. This is the answer to hypocrisy. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Tell somebody, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you want to know the answer to hypocrisy, the answer is keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he is the only perfect example, and truth be told, Jesus is the only one who won't disappoint you. People will disappoint you. Oh my goodness, I will disappoint you. People will disappoint you, but Jesus will never disappoint you. The Bible says that those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus himself was on trial before his crucifixion, and he boldly confronted his confusers and said, "Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin?" Yes. Nobody came forward. How many of us could do that? I don't think any of us could look at somebody and say that. Listen, but Jesus could. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was not an actor. He was not a pretender. He was not a hypocrite. He was and is the genuine article, the real thing. You may have put your faith in a so-called Christian and be disappointed, but remember that whoever believes in Jesus will never be disappointed. Listen, the church is messy. The church is not perfect, but the point of the church is Jesus, and trust me, he's worth it. I heard the story of Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife. She was traveling through India, and she sat down and had a conversation with a young college student named Pashi, and she told him about Jesus, and he said, "Mrs. Graham, we of India would like to believe in Christ, but we have never seen a Christian who lived as Christ." And her response was profound. She said, "I'm not offering you Christians. I'm offering you Jesus." The foundation of Christianity is not the people who follow Jesus. It is Jesus himself. Because the truth is, we've all been guilty of hypocrisy at some point or another. Because every one of us, we are all a work in progress. I cannot stand up here and act like I'm 100% completely perfect. Because every time I reach another spiritual milestone, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes and I say, "Dear Lord, how have you been so patient with me up until this point?" We go from glory to glory, from level to level. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you see the areas in your own life that are not a reflection of him. But we don't offer Christians to the world. We offer Jesus. Christianity cannot save you. No pastor can save you. No Christian can save you. No church leader can save you. Only Jesus saves. And I've got something to tell you today, and this is going to set somebody free this morning. Not everybody who claims to be a Christian is really a Christian. That was deep. Somebody needs to know that. Not everybody who claims to be a Christian is truly a Christian. Think about it. Jesus had 12 disciples. They lived with him. They followed him. They ministered. Jesus sent all of them out, and they cast out devils and healed the sick. Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was full of the devil. Jesus has his church members, but the devil has his church members too. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Jesus has people in the church, but the devil has people in church too. I heard about a little country church, and it was a Sunday morning. The church was packed. All of a sudden, before service, the whole room turned red, and smoke filled the room, and Satan walked into the pulpit. And everybody in the church jumped up and screamed and ran out the back of the door, except one little old man who was sitting on the third row. And the devil walked up to him and said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" He said, "Yeah, I know who you are. And you're not afraid of me?" He said, "I've been married to your sister for 35 years. I'm not scared of her. I'm not scared of you either." Uh-oh. Jesus has his church members, but the devil has his church members too. Because not everybody who claims to be a child of God is truly a child of God. Look at the religious rulers that Jesus confronted in Matthew chapter 23. They were the religious elite. They looked very spiritual. But Jesus said on the inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. There are plenty of people today who are playing the same game. The Bible says in Titus 1:6, such people claim to know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Once we understand that not everybody who claims to be a Christian is actually following Jesus, it'll help us and it'll help our friends to stop blaming the faith for things that faithless people do. I truly believe we can help reach more people for Jesus if we help them understand that there are phonies out there. And I will never defend a hypocrite, and neither should you. Amen. I'll defend only one and one only, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll stand by Jesus no matter what, but you're going to want to be a hypocrite? Uh-uh. Can't help you. Amen. Gotta go. Why? Because hypocrites give Jesus a bad name. Uh-huh. And they give the church a bad name. Part of our mission in reaching people for Jesus is to deal with the issue of hypocrites so people don't blame Christianity for things that these unchristian people do. Think about it. You wouldn't blame the medical community for something a witch doctor does, right? Because you know that a witch doctor is not a real doctor. I've been to Cuba. I've been to Haiti. I've seen a witch doctor. I can look at them and tell that they are not a medically licensed professional. So I don't blame the medical community for something crazy that a witch doctor does, but hypocrites are a little bit more difficult because you can't tell a hypocrite from the outside. Jesus said hypocrisy is on the inside. Okay, so it's kind of like witch doctors walking around in scrubs carrying a chart and a stethoscope. You'll see what I'm saying this morning? Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While the man was sleeping, his enemy came and planted tares in the field. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like that. While the man was sleeping, he sowed wheat in his field, but while he was sleeping, an enemy came and planted tares in the field. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is just like that. Y'all following what Jesus said? Kingdom of heaven is like that. A man planted wheat. His enemy came and planted tares. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Okay? Do you know what a tare is? It's a plant that looks exactly like wheat, but it's really just a weed. It's nothing more than an imitation of the real thing. And if you're looking at the two together, you can't tell them apart. And when it was almost time for harvest, Jesus went on to say that the wheat began to sprout and people began to notice that his wheat was full of tares. And they asked him, why don't we weed out the tares? Remember, this Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Why don't we weed out the tares? Why don't we pluck up all the hypocrites and just purify and purge the church? Why don't we get rid of the tares? Jesus said, nope, they're going to remain together until the harvest. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The wheat and the tares will not be separated until the day of harvest. But when the harvest comes, there will be a separation. And those who are truly his will be taken, and those who are not will be left behind. Those who are living for God will be caught up in the rapture. Those who are living for themselves will be left behind. But until that day comes, the wheat will remain with the tares. How can you tell the difference? How do you know the real from the false? Jesus tells us the answer in Matthew chapter 7. He said, you will know them by their fruits. How do we know if somebody is really a Christian? We look at the fruit. Anybody can play church on Sunday morning, but you can't fake fruit. We will know them by their fruit. If you want to look at and see if somebody is living for Jesus, look at the fruit of their lives. If you want to know if your friend is really a Christian, then examine their fruit. Does that person bring you closer to God? How do you feel after you've been around them? What things in your life do they fuel? Do they fuel your temper? Do they fuel your anger? Do they fuel your lust? Do they fuel your selfish desires? Or do they challenge you to be closer to Jesus? Do they make you feel good about going to church? Or do they make fun of you for going to church? Are they loving or are they rude? Are they humble? Or do they walk around like they're better than everybody else? I don't connect myself personally to a lot of other ministers because I like to see their heart. I like to see their fruit. When they walk in the church, are they so weak they can't carry their own Bible?
All right.
Now, I'll admit it. My 2-year-old carried my Bible in this morning, but I wipe his tail, so I think it's a pretty good trait. But are they so holy and so proud that they can't do anything for themselves, that people have to wait on them hand and foot? Because I will not connect myself to somebody like that. That's... somebody got some Pharisee-itis. Because the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served. My God, if the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were created and all things were made, would humble himself down and wash the feet of his disciples, we as children of God are called to serve. I don't know where that came from. But there it is. How do you know if they're a child of God? You'll know them by their fruit. Do they love Jesus or do they love drama? Woo! Amen! Y'all ain't gonna do it. I'll do it for myself this morning. Do they love Jesus or do they love drama? I love that the word hypocrite means an actor, because what do actors...